The KM Football Podcast. All the latest reaction and analysis from the KM Sports team. Listen every week and click subscribe on iTunes.
Welcome to the latest edition of the KM Football Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Fordham, and joining me this week is Matt Panting and Luke Waddell. How are you both this week?
Morning, very well, thank you.
Very well, thank you, Joshua. Thank you.
Enjoy your games of football at the weekend. Matt, I know you were on the FA Cup trail this weekend, very early on in the season.
Well, I don't know, do you call it the March to the Arch, or are you a Road to Wembley man, Josh?
March to the Arch is would be my really? Preference, no, Luke.
Definitely.
Any preference, or you're not that bothered?
Nah, not the Arch. No.
being a Lincoln fan, he doesn't get close to Wembley.
Old school, yeah.
Not in the FA Cup anyway, he does. He has been now. But,
only talk about 120 years, but yeah.
I think it's 14 rounds away. I think if you started in the FA Cup, because should rewind a bit, it was the extra preliminary round on Saturday. I think if you start in that round, 14 wins will either get you to Wembley or get you to lift the FA Cup.
Which is wins. Yeah. It takes some effort, wouldn't it?
There's pipe dreams in there. and there's pipe dreams.
And Luke, you were at Jill's this weekend. Let's start off talking about their win, a brilliant start to the season for Jill's. I was looking back and seeing when was the last time that they won their first two home games of the season. It was only the season before last in the end, but the two wins from the first two games, yeah, couldn't have gone better for Steve Lovell's team.
Yeah, going really well and entertaining as well, which I think is what most fans want to see, don't they? They want to be on the edge of the seat, and when they pay the money, we want to see some decent football, which is what they're seeing at the minute, which is good to see.
Yeah, and two goals for Tom Eaves back in the side now.
Yeah, I know, but he wasn't even like the star man. I think both goals set up by Brandon Hanlon, who's looks like a right signing. He does.
Charlton would be a bit devastated with
him and Regan Charles Cook as well. Yeah, they've lost two players, and I've seen them twice in the league, and they both look right handful for defenders. They don't like playing against that kind of pace, and the way Brandon plays, he just gets the ball and just goes for it. He's not messing about. Every time he gets the ball, he looks like something's going to happen. It's really good to see.
At a time when Charlton are desperate for players as well, they will be kicking themselves. Can't even fill a bench at the moment.
No, they had an option as well to take Brandon for another year, but they declined to take it and became a free agent, and Steve Lovell stepped in. So, fair play.
Yeah, brilliant signings. They look like you say Tom Eaves was a bit, didn't really do a lot apart from his goals, but every time I've seen Tom Eaves play, it seems to be that's how he plays. I remember I watched him in a Yeovil Town game against Morecambe a couple of seasons ago, absolutely anonymous. I think he scored in the end, but he's that kind of player though, isn't he?
I suppose if you've got players with pace and then you've also got a big lad like Tom Eaves on your sort of case as well, you don't know what they're doing, where to turn. There's so many different sort of things you've got to think about, but he does do an awful lot for the team as well. But it was nice that the two sort of goals were, I wouldn't say quite on a plate for him. He still had a bit to do, but he'll be thanking Brandon for the way he sort of set him up for a couple of goals. Yeah.
Started this season, even if I say it right that way around, the way he finished last season, he scored a hat-trick.
Got a hat-trick, didn't he? Last game
at Priestfield last season. Yeah. He's got two in the first game at Priestfield this season.
Loves Priestfield, doesn't he?
It does at the minute.
They love him as well. I won't say what they sing about him, but it's a reference to Andy Carroll, but he seems to revel in it.
Not repeatable for the
family show. Get down to Priestfield, show. You can hear it.
A brilliant day at Priestfield as well, celebrating their 125th anniversary.
Yeah, it all worked out. Yeah, they're in their black and white striped shirt, which is modelled on their shirt from New Brompton. Do I like it? Yeah, it's nice. It's all right. It's a bit like the one they had quite a while ago. They had a black and white version, didn't they? So, yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
Keep playing like that. Juventus than Notts County, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a nice shirt. I think it went down well with fans. He was in the shop before the game, so I think a fair few of them looked like they'd gone out and got one. It's nice that they've done something for the fans to commemorate the 125 years, and what a way to sort of start the celebrations as well for a good performance like that. Some of the fans also were given them certificates as well of commemoration to be at the game, the first game of the home first home game of the season. So, yeah, it was a good day. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. How does this team compare then to last season? It took ages for Jules to get their first win last season. It was seven games, I think, in the end. Did well in the middle and then tailed off towards the end. Is this, a much more positive, much more entertaining team, perhaps, than we've seen from Jules.
On first viewing, yeah. A lot more. Not the defence is as the same. It's just that that pace up front and in midfield. They've just got a lot more energy, and they do sort of move around as well. They sort of, the midfield, three or four, sort of shift it around. And you know, it's almost like a front three at times. Josh Parker will starts up top, he'll drop back, and Regan Charles Cook will go up front, and they're very mobile. I think it's that pace that's made the big difference.
Yeah, exciting times for Jules then, perhaps.
Hope so,
season.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope it's just not two wins and then they plummet, but no.
Yes.
On evidence so far, there's no reason why they shouldn't sort of carry this on, really. And they've got the, because they're a young team, that the confidence is just flowing through them.
Yeah, is that? I guess that makes a huge difference, having a young team and perhaps a couple more players in from those, Brandon Hanlon and Regan Charles Cook. It seems like they've made all the difference.
Yeah, they've got no fear. They don't, you know, they're not bothered. They just go for it. They've been playing football since they were kids, and they're doing what they enjoy, and they're playing with sort of smiles on their faces, and they seem to be lifting everyone else at the same time as well.
Yeah, Steve Lovell must have been a happy man after the game.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's always said it's a gamble. When you sign any player, and it's a gamble when you sign young players that are unproven at this level, so it could have gone either way, and at the minute it's going the right way, which is good.
He was
very happy. Yeah,
that's great stuff. And we can listen to a little bit from Steve Lovell now after that win on Saturday.
When we went forward, I think we always looked threatening, and it was a really good team performance. Disappointed to lose Dean Parrott, but you know, that gives somebody else a chance, and we changed it, brought Tom on and put Josh Parker back in his place. And, you know, Tom's got two goals. So, you know, I've always said that the squad that we got now is good in depth. You know, and Tom again was on the, Tom Eves was on the bench today. He couldn't get in the team from last week, but, you know, he's gone on taking his chance. So, you know, we always want our top goal scorers to be in form, and he had two. But, you know, Brandon Hanlon, I thought, was magnificent today. He was unplayable. They didn't know how to handle him. They all understand, you know, the way that we play and the way the diamond works. And I think they played it very, very well. And it was only the last, I think, quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, where we changed to a 4-4-2, because we're 3-1 up, the game is won. We didn't have to make it go on hunting for more goals. So we just let Brandon and Tom deal with it on their own, and they did. And they could have had, well, Brandon could have had three or four. But you know, they've done really well. The main thing that we got legs, we got people who can run, people who can get around the pitch, and clever people who can understand. They understand the way that we play, and they adhere to it. We work every day on the training ground on it, and so there's no reason why they shouldn't.
So Jill's next up for them is a trip to the Den on Tuesday night for the Carabao Cup. What are our opinions on this competition? People have been slating it in recent years with the mess that Carabao have created with their draws that they've made in Far East countries. And I remember Cheltenham getting drawn twice last year. What are your opinions on this competition?
I'm not going to advocate Googling Carabao, but I'm not sure many people still know what it is, or all they associate with Carabao at the moment is it's a bungled up cup draws, really, isn't it?
It's an energy drink, isn't it? I've never had it myself.
I didn't know.
Especially
answer,
on a Monday morning. But maybe the more times we say Carabao or whatever it is, we can get some free drinks from them.
Maybe
they'll ship over
from
Thailand.
Sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, could do, couldn't they? Give us all a boost. But if it brings in extra revenue, then who cares where it's from, you know? Clubs all need money, don't they?
Well, absolutely. And yeah, Millwall on Tuesday night. Tough game going to the Den.
I think the thing is with the competition is how the top teams view it, rather than, I think the lower league teams are all for it, but some of the top teams, they'll just use it as almost like a reserve fixture, won't they? So it'll be interesting to see what kind of team Millwall put out, because if they don't put a strong team out and Gillingham do, then it'll definitely be a level playing field.
What way did Jules go? Do they go with their strongest team, or do you?
Well, yeah, I asked Steve that, whether he's going to sort of change it completely, because I mean, he's almost got a team out at the minute that could come in. He's got, because he's pretty much played the same 11 first two games, so he said he's going to think about it today. Sunday night he was going to discuss it with Pato, the assistant manager, and think about it for Monday. But do you want to risk sort of, oh no, having a defeat after all the sort of good sort of things that have happened in the last 2 weeks, and then you could go to Millwall and lose heavily, or do you name the, your strong team and go for it again? I don't know.
That's you always like decision. To pick up a couple of injuries at Millwall as well.
Yeah, good though. Yeah,
it's never an easy.
No, it's
place
a tricky one, isn't it? I don't know. I'd probably just name the same team. I mean, speaking to Brandon after the game, he just wants to play again, and he was saying he didn't score on Saturday. He'd love to score on Tuesday night against Millwall. I think anyone that was playing on Saturday will want to play again on Tuesday. They won't want to sit out, and they've done well. They deserve the shirt. So. Sort of Steve, isn't it? That's all on the manager, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's so early on in the season, and there's quite a lot of young players in there. They're not going to be tired from over playing.
No, far from it.
There's not going to be any of those sort of issues, and they will just want to play every game. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does name the same team.
They'd give Millwall's first team a game, I'm sure of it, the way they're playing at the minute and the way they're so confident. So. It's going to be interesting as much to see how Millwall approach it, because they won't want to come unstuck against Gillingham at home, even if it is to them just the League Cup.
No, it's a game they won't want to lose, and maybe they'll target a run this year.
We've seen
teams in the past from sort of Championship and lower get through to the last stage of the competition. So
yeah, and recently Gillingham beat Watford a year or two ago, which was a good game, good result. So you know. There's no reason why Gillingham can't win this one.
Yeah, and on Saturday you've got a nice trip to Walsall in the league. Tough ground to go to, but I'm sure Gills will be thinking that they can come away with another result there.
Yeah, Walsall, like Gillingham, were probably a team that a lot of people fancied for the drop. I don't think Walsall haven't done too bad either at the start of the season, so it'll be interesting to see sort of that game and... great opportunity for Gillingham to make it 3 out of 3.
Absolutely, yeah. And if we now move on to the game that Matt watched at the weekend, he was on, like I said, we said at the start, he's on the FA Cup trail on Saturday. First up for you, Matt, was Sevenoaks against Lordswood. Quite one-sided in the end.
It was, yes. Sevenoaks obviously won Southern Counties East last year, so they're now in Bostock South East, although they haven't started their season, and they had to start with the FA Cup tie. Lords would have already won 2 out of 2 in the league, so should have been a tight game, and for 20 minutes it probably was. But once Sevenoaks went 2 and 3 very quickly around the half hour, it was game over, and it was just a case of how many. And I think Lords would probably wanted to get in the cars and get home pretty sharpish.
Yeah, it's quite one-sided in the end. How do teams at this level view the competition? Is their ambition to try and draw one of the big non-league sides? A couple of the managers that I've spoken to from the Southern Counties East League, they know they're not going to perhaps get to the first round, but they want to draw a big non-league team, especially in the Kent area, to try and pull a bit of money into the club.
Yeah, I think that, and also at the moment is the prize money. This season the prize money is virtually doubled from the FA for the FA Cup, so they're looking at that. I think the prize on Saturday for these extra preliminary round winners was over £2,000.
The losers got a fair bit as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they've changed it this year. So what happens in the FA Vars for the last couple of seasons has been that the losers in the early rounds picked up some money as well. And in the FA Cup for this season, they've introduced for these first two rounds the extra prelim and the prelim that the losers will bag some money. So I think Lords would... ended up with about £900 or so from losing the game.
Yeah, I'm just looking at now Saturday. £750 for the losing clubs and £2,250 for the winning club. Yeah, it's quite a fair sum for some of these teams.
It is, and also if you get on a run and you get through the next round as well, all of a sudden you're looking at the best part of £5,000, I guess, in total, just for two FA Cup ties, which is a big sum of money for clubs at that level. And much really appreciated from them. I'm sure that, it could go a long way for sorting out their costs for the season, even. So, in that sense, prize money probably comes ahead of plum cup draw for me at the moment. But I think you'll find, ask any player, and they just like to play in the FA Cup. And if you can be Frankie Sawyer, who scored a hat trick for Sevenoaks at the weekend, and say you scored a hat trick in the FA Cup, you know, that's what the players are aiming to do. They're not obviously playing and thinking of the money. They're playing and thinking of the, you know, doing well in that competition.
Was there still that sort of buzz around the place? It was FA Cup game. I know it's at lower level, and
I think you can sense it from the players when it's an FA Cup game. You can see it, and yeah, I think there was the newness to it as well, because obviously Sevenoaks have gone out. I know the two clubs know each other very well from their days in the Kent League and then Southern Counties, but it was the newness to the season for Sevenoaks as well, and they've sort of reshaped their squad with a few new signings, and you know, wish them well in their new venture at step four, because if their strike force fires, then you know, as it did on Saturday, Kenny Pogue, Frankie Sawyer, then they had Zach Atwood came off the bench as well, so you know, they've got three players there who are capable of scoring goals at that level for sure.
And Lordswood aren't bad either themselves at the minute. They've invested a bit, haven't they, and they've won the first two in the scaffold as well, so they're not a bad team.
No, exactly, 1-2 out of two, and they played some nice football at times, and say for half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, it was a pretty even game, and you know, Lordswood probably thought they might have been just, you know, just shaded the opening stages. They conceded, then equalised straight away with a nice finish from the edge of the box. And yeah, they were decent at times, but I think the way they defended against that pace, and they conceded goals on the counter attack, and that's something they're going to have to sort out to not come unstuck in the league. But they're certainly a breath of fresh air at Lordswood as well. New chairman, new committee members have gone in there, and look to be a club on the up at the moment, Lordswood, that's for sure.
Yeah, and for your march to the arch, we'll call it now. Will you carry on following Sevenoaks, or will you choose a different game throughout each round?
I don't think we've discussed it that far.
No, well, you can,
yet, Josh.
Let's discuss it now.
I've not looked at the fixtures.
Sevenoaks got next round, you're not sure?
They don't know yet, because the team, the tie from their game, the two teams drew, I believe, so they've got a replay in midweek. So yeah, it might be an interesting one to have a look at in a couple of weeks. The next round is on the 25th of August, so we haven't got to decide yet. But yes, I can't call it a march to the arch, Josh. The road to Wembley will continue in a fortnight, and we'll see where we end up. We'll take in an FA Cup tie again for sure.
Yeah, another interesting result that I just picked out: Deal Town 2, Whitstable 2. Quite an interesting one, as Whitstable last season, they won two trophies, got promoted from the Southern Counties East, stumbled a bit perhaps at Deal Town.
Rescued by a last minute equaliser as well, Whitstable. They were 2-0 down at one point in that game. I think Stuart West scored in the 90th minute to force a replay midweek. And again, as we were saying, you know, it was Sevenoaks' first competitive game of the season. That would be the case as well for Whitstable. So Deal have had a couple of league games and home advantage as well. And almost knocked out now what is a higher level club for them, in which Wolsey played each other last season, but in the same league, but now they're a league apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that you said what date is the next round? Is it the weekend of the 25th?
It's the 25th, so there's a few more midweek replays this week, Josh, and then you've got league games next week, and then the following weekend it's the FA Cup, and that's when the rest of the teams in the Bostic South East will come into aim to the competition for us as well. But I mean, there was one or two other notable results in the cup at the weekend as well. I think Beersted had a home win against Chichester. It was Beersted's first home FA Cup tie, and also our first game in the competition for K Sports, who are Maystone based, and they got a late equaliser to have won a midweek replay against Pagham, I think it was. So that was a 2-2 draw in the end. So there was one or two interesting scores that came through.
Yeah, we'll be bringing you more on Matt's adventures on the road to Wembley throughout the season, no doubt. So let's talk a little bit about the National League and how our teams got on there. Ebbsfleet, they picked up a 1-0 win at Hartlepool. Hartlepool, a tough place to go, particularly as we've mentioned before on the podcast, they'll be hoping for a much improved season this year. And yeah, for Ebbsfleet to go there and get a win, I think Darryl McMahon will be absolutely delighted with that result. One thing perhaps would be a little bit of a concern for the manager is in the opening three games, they've only managed two goals so far.
Both scored by Corey Whiteley. Yes. Came off the bench again at the weekend, scored. We spoke to Darryl about this after the game at Leighton Orient in midweek, and his opinion was very much of the line of if we weren't creating the chances, then I'd be worried, sort of philosophy. And they did create a hatful of chances at Orient in midweek. I guess the good thing is that they've only conceded a couple of goals in those first three games as well. So you could sort of twist it the other way to say it that way. So they look good defensively, and obviously if they can start firing, they've got obviously Kedwell and now Michael Cheek up top, and Corey Whiteley's come off the bench now to score again, so he's be pushing for his place back in that starting lineup. They got some firepower as well, so it bodes well. That's a really tough place to go, and a really good 3 points.
Yeah, well, it's a tough opening three games for them. Chesterfield at home, and then games against Leyton Orient and Hartlepool away. Really difficult start to the season for them, and to come away with 4 points from those three games. So I think Ipswich fans will be pretty happy with how things have gone so far.
Oh, very much so, and they got a really tough month as well. I think if you looked at the fixtures for the whole league, I think Ipswich probably got the toughest hand that they've been dealt. Sutton in this midweek, and then they go to Barnet and they play Aldershot as well before the month's out. So they've got a really tough run of games. So if they can come out of there with a good haul of points, and they'll be very optimistic of picking up some big points then against the lesser lights that they'll be playing September, October time.
Yeah, and if we now we move on to Maidstone, they suffered a 3-0 defeat to Halifax at the weekend, who are unbeaten so far. They've won
top of the
table. First three, yeah. Yes. 9 points from the first three games. No one, I don't think anyone would have predicted Halifax to be right at the top of the tree after three games. Yeah, perhaps just one of those early season results where Halifax are on a bit of a high at the moment, and Maidstone were unfortunately the victims of that at the moment.
But I think Jay Saunders said they didn't compete enough, didn't he? I think he was just upset about the way they didn't compete. But it's a shame after the good result in the week, isn't it, against Dagenham? They beat Dagenham 2-1, didn't they?
But, two very good results the first two games of the season, picked up 4 points.
Maybe Halifax are the team to beat this season, who knows?
Yeah, well, we've got Halifax and Gateshead who have both won their first three games of the season, so it's perhaps
Solihull and Martin Allen's Chesterfield, who we spoke about last week.
Go on, Mark.
There's four teams up there who've won three out of three, so yeah, go on, Mark. dear. And this is a Kent podcast, Luke.
Not going
to show any bias towards former Gillingham managers, thank you.
And in my best football manager impression, there's no easy games in the National League, because Maidstone, they've got Leyton Orient at home on Tuesday, and then Barrow on Saturday as well. It seems like a bit of an unfair start for some of the Kent teams this year in the National League. Matt, you saw Leyton Orient on Tuesday when they played Ipswich. Going to be a difficult game for Jay Saunders' side.
I would have thought so. I mean, Orient looked, I wouldn't say they looked great against Ipswich. I thought Ipswich were the better side and certainly created a lot of chances. So I think Orient can be got at in that sense. Orient obviously dropped points at the weekend. They only drew at home to Barrow as well. So they've not had a flying start by any means. So
drawn all three, aren't they, Orient?
Yeah.
Three draws.
There's a lot of teams. I think another team drew three out of three in that league as well. I don't know. I just wonder whether I would fancy Maidstone maybe just to nick that one. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, at home as well.
Exactly.
I know they struggled at home last season a little bit, but they must struggle home and away during the middle part of the season last year. But
if you're a Maidstone player, you're going to raise your game an extra 10% because you know you're playing Leyton Orient and they're one of the big guns in that division. So I wouldn't surprise me if Leyton Orient came unstuck at Maidstone.
Yeah, good start to the season for Maidstone there. I think they'll be again, not absolutely, they'll be happy with 4 points from the opening three games.
I think so. I think it's a solid start, nothing more, but see how they go in the next few weeks and just try and put as many points on the board early doors as you can. And really, if you can get to 10 games and have at least 10 points, then you know, you'll be looking upwards rather than down.
Yeah, and it's Harrogate, the other team, who have drawn their opening three matches of the season so far. One side who haven't started the season very well is Dover. They conceded a late goal to lose 2-1 on the long journey at Gateshead. A bit of a disappointing start for Dover there. 1 point from their first three games. One piece of positive news, I suppose, is Jamie Allen, who scored a couple of goals now after coming back after being out for most of last season through injury. So it's almost like having a new signing back for Chris Kinnear there.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any immediate cause for concern in that sense. It's very thin margins that can decide some games. And you look at the opening day of the season where they missed the penalty, had a goal disallowed. They could have easily taken something out of that one. And, you know, they could have easily come away with a point from Gateshead, and as you say, you know, Gateshead, one of those surprise teams along with Halifax at the top of the pile, having won all their games so far. So early days, so not any great alarm so far.
Yeah, like last season, they seem to only lose by a single goal margin, and it's carried on this year. Defensively, they're looking reasonably solid again. I think they need to find their scoring boots so far this season. Their main striker they brought in, Iniefiong, from a Scottish side. He's not found the net so far, so they'll be hoping once he gets going that there'll be more goals ahead.
And you'd fancy them at Big Sign Cup in midweek, wouldn't you? Home to Havant, so yeah. You'd fancy Chris and his team to certainly get up and running there.
Yeah, they've only drawn two and lost one in their opening games so far, so that's one I think definitely be targeting. And even then, their game at Fylde on Saturday, they'll be hoping to go there and come away with 3 points. I don't think, even though how well they did last year, I think Fylde are a team that can be perhaps got at this season. They had a good cup run and a good run in the league as well, but it's one place I think Chris Kinnear will be targeting to go there and get 3 points. And yeah, it's early days in the season, pick up two wins from that and they'll be right near the top of the table again.
Yep, be a different complexion on the table, as they say.
Yeah, and let's talk about the National League South briefly. Dartford 0-0 draw with Hemel Hempstead. They're still unbeaten so far this season, sixth in the table, but could have been a lot better start for them. They could have been three wins from three.
Missed a late penalty. New signing, and a chap you were speaking to Jamie Coyle about in the week, Luke. Jamie Philpott put his penalty over the bar for Dartford at the end. So could easily have been a 1-0 home win.
Philpott's got visions of sort of getting back into the Football League after leaving Millwall, hasn't he? But he's got a good sort of background. Played Millwall for many years and became a free agent. Dartford have sort of given him a go, and obviously Saturday didn't go too well, but who knows.
No, penalties not going well for Dartford either. Three penalties they've had this season. They've missed two of them. Now only Delano Sam York, who scored the winner last week from the spot, is the only spot kick that they've scored so far.
Yeah, three penalties in three games. That's some going, isn't it?
Creating chances, I think, is the is the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they've got a tough game on Tuesday at Concord Rangers, who are like Dartford. They've started the season very well, two wins and a draw.
Yep, that's the one I'll be taking in, Josh. Fancy decent match that one, because there'll be two strong sides, and Concord, you say, have sort of totally rebuilt in the summer, new management over there, and seem to have increased the budget somewhat. So and also a trip for Adam Flanagan back to his former club, so it'll be an interesting one Tuesday night to see the strengths of both those sides.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. And then Wealdstone at home on Saturday. I'm sure they'll be hoping to pick up 3 points. 3 points there. And they've started the season well. It's carrying on from last year, really.
It's a promising start, that one, Dartford. I think there was a few question marks over how they would be post Tony Berman. So, 7 points and three is a cracking start.
Yeah. It's a bit of a... You didn't really know how they were going to cope with losing Tony Berman after the end of the season, how they finished last year, whether there's going to be a bit of a hangover there, but it seems like they've been able to put that well and truly behind them. And
I watched the game when they beat Chelmsford as well in the week, their bogey team, so beating them was a nice one. Fans enjoyed that one.
Yeah, are they looking good at the moment then, Luke? Would you say are they positive signs for the fans? I mean, yeah, 7 points from the opening three games must be
definitely. I think it's been said that they might be the dark horses this season. They've certainly started well, haven't they?
Yes, absolutely. And if we in the Bostic Premier League, there's a win for Margate, 5-2. Brilliant start for them in the season. But unfortunately,
five up at half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a brilliant start for Margate there. It's and then Folkestone, unfortunately, they lost their first game. Bostic Premier starting off this weekend, but. So good start for Margate in the Bostic Premier League there.
You can't do any better than being firing up at half time on the first day of the season. I mean, that's, you know, we spoke last week about pre-season preparations, and if you've had a good pre-season or not, I think half time every Margate fan's thinking that that was the best pre-season they've ever had. To go 5-0 up is pretty impressive. And you say, yeah, Folkestone lost at home to Enfield, one or two people do fancy Enfield to be there or thereabouts by the end of the season. They've got a few players in there. But they were 2-1 up for a while in that one. Two goals in a minute late on turned that one on its head. But the other notable result that I thought was also impressive for one of our teams was Tunbridge winning 3-0 at Mersham. And Steve McKim's obviously got a rebuilt squad this year, made a lot of new signings, but he's going small numbers. When I spoke to him before the Mersham game, he was saying how he wanted to try and avoid any injuries and suspensions. But 3-0 is a really promising start for Tunbridge.
Yeah, definitely. And one last thing to talk about before we finish today. Team of the week. Any guys bring? Did you bring in the team of the week sheet this week?
We have got the team of the week, Josh. Don't worry. Would you like me to run through the team of the week for you?
Yes, please.
I will do so. No problems. So in goal, we went with. I've forgotten who we went with in goal, actually. In goal,
Darren Ibrahim.
We went with Darren Ibrahim from Dartford. Obviously, a clean sheet for Dartford. And Ibrahim's an interesting one because obviously he was left out of the Dartford team at the back end of last season. But is obviously revelling in the confidence and the faith put in him by the new management team at Dartford. So he's kept a clean sheet. So Darren Ibrahim went in goal. And our defenders included Connor Cox from Herne Bay, who scored for them in their draw against Faversham, wasn't it?
Local derby, yeah.
George Snelling, K-Sports, we mentioned them earlier in the FA Cup. George scored the equaliser for K-Sports in their first FA Cup game. Lex Allen impressed for Sittingbourne at the back, and obviously Sean Shields at Ebbsfleet impressed down the left-hand side in that win at Hartlepool. And we're going to midfield. Jared Small was one of the scorers for Tunbridge in that win that we just mentioned. Sam Corn, as a former Wellington and Greenwich player, he's gone down with Gary Alexander to Ashford. He scored in their win over Hive, which was obviously a bit of an interesting game, that one. Two teams very close to each other, and a few bragging rights at stake in that one. So that was a good start of the season for Ashford. And also Alex Brown, who scored twice in that win for Margate that we spoke about. And then up front, we've gone with the two Jules players, Brendan Hanlon and Tom Eaves. And joining them is Frankie Sawyer, who obviously saw that hat-trick for Sevenoaks. So that was this week's Kent Lion Team of the Week. And the manager was a chap that Luke knows quite well. It's James Collins at Chatham.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
And obviously Team of the Week is a really exciting moment of the show.
And, great result for James and his boys beating Walton and Hersham, wasn't it, in the FA Cup?
Yep.
And then they've started their Skeffle season off to a flyer as well, with a couple of wins, and they're scoring loads of goals as well. Paul Vines with the, I think he scored one or two, did he, at the weekend as well? So he's up and running, doing really well. So Chatham have started the season fantastic.
Yeah, much improved on last year then.
They were struggling, weren't they? A lot of changes and dropping down to that level, they struggled a bit, but
got a good manager now. He knows that level, knows how he's going to play, and there'll be a strong side this season for sure.
Yeah, you can read the Kent Online Team of the Week on the Kent Online website, where you can see the reasons why we've chosen that team in 4-3-3 we've gone for this week, the formation.
Very flexible, well. You know, Josh, you can't be too rigid in what you want to do as a manager. You've got to, adapt to what's available to you.
I keep pushing to get Ryan Golding in the team. He's got another hat-trick for Wellington. Get him in there.
No comment.
8 goals in 3 games.
Our panel of experts will convene again, and if Mr. Golding scores again at the weekend, then
pressure's
maybe,
on.
Maybe
pressure's
pressure
on. Surely, if he gets
them.
Another hat trick, that's got to be it.
Oh dear. So, thanks very much to everyone who's listened to the podcast this week. Don't forget to keep checking the Kent Online website for all the latest news throughout the week, and we'll be back next week talking about all the latest matches.